For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Jeremiah chapter 8, and I want to just read three verses here in Jeremiah chapter 8, beginning in verse 20. And Jeremiah said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I'm black." In other words, I'm in great mourning. "Astonishment hath taken hold on me." And Jeremiah asks the question, kind of a rhetorical question, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughters of my people recovered or restored?" Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I ask you to help us today not to lose hope in these days, but help us to see that there's a great harvest to be had and to be enjoyed. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us today in this, but yet stir us, I pray, about the need for laborers, and stir us to pray to you for more laborers, and help us to be busy in these days of harvest and seed sowing. And Lord, I pray you'd remind us as we take this analogy that you gave Jeremiah many years ago, help us to be about the Father's business. And bless every person that's here today in their particular need. I pray for soldiers. I pray for young people. I pray, God, that you'd lead and guide and protect them and help them, Lord, to continue to serve you wherever you might place them, really as missionaries around the world. I pray, Lord, for middle-aged couples here. I pray for college students, and I pray for the Golden Years group, and I pray for widows and widowers and divorcees, and Lord, whatever, wherever we may be as teenagers, I pray that you'll help and speak and mold this message to their heart in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this time of the year. It's a wonderful time of the year, and I often kid people in Florida. I say, you know, it'd be an awful thing to live in Florida year-round. I mean, no seasons, just, you know, sun shining all the time, you know, nice breeze, seafood, you know, beach and all that. I mean, it'd be boring, wouldn't it? I used to, when Mom and Dad lived in Florida for many years, you know, Dad would, he would, and Mom too, but they'd call us, you know, about mid-January, and they knew that it was, you know, 5 below here, and Dad would just say, "How's things going up there?" I'd say, "Well, okay, Dad, doing well." And he'd say, "Well, we're just down here." He said, got the doors open and ceiling fan on the screen. He said, "We're burning up down here." Just said, "It's awful, 75 degrees. And what's temperature up there?" Well, he knew what the temperature up here was, you know. And I'm glad to live in this place where we have four seasons. In fact, I'm glad for the promises of God. He said in Genesis 8, verse 22, he said, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." God said, look, he said, "Until I come again, there'll always be four seasons." And I suppose wherever you live, there are seasonal times and all of that. But I love the fall season. I think of here we are on September 17th today. I don't know that summer's officially over, but I think we can say with Jeremiah of old that the harvest is past or passing and the summer is ended. The summer is ended. I think as I stick my head out early in the mornings now, just a little nip in the air. I love football. I love pumpkin pie. I love the leaves changing, the weather, hunting season, and I just love this time of the year, the crispness in the air. And And here as we read of Jeremiah, I don't think he was thinking like we are today. You know, he wasn't rejoicing in West Virginia's victory last night over the Pitt Panthers. He was mourning over his nation that was being judged by God. That's why we know Jeremiah is the weeping prophet. Jeremiah had a broken heart. Jeremiah said, "Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep, cry day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people." Jeremiah didn't get to give, encouraging messages. God gave him messages of judgment upon the nation. And he comes here in verse 20 of chapter 8. This is one of what we call the major prophets in the scriptures. And he makes an amazing statement. He said, "The harvest is past. The summer is ended. We're not saved." I think as Jeremiah wrote this, I think he was thinking about his nation. I think he was thinking about what God had given him. He was thinking about the message that God had given him and all of that. And he was so burdened for his country. And of course, much of the Bible that day was very agricultural, and many of the illustrations were agricultural. And he likens his nation's judgment and God's timing prophetically to a harvest and the seasons and all of that. I think as we read this today, I think there are just some very basic points. First of all, may I just say this? I think as he wrote this, he was saying there's a season of sowing and growing. There's a season of sowing and growing. We're just coming through a season of sowing and growing. And I see sometimes people posting now, and some of you posting about, preserving, canning things that you've grown, and there's great satisfaction in that, of course, and freezing stuff. But there's a season for that. There's a season of sowing, and there's a season of growing, and there's a season of harvest. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, Solomon wrote, the wisest man that ever lived. He said that to everything there's a season and a time for every purpose under the heaven. And he listed a great long list, litany of things. He said there's a time to be born, a time to die. He said there's a time to be a mourning, and there's a time of rejoicing. There's a time of birth. There's a time of death, and on and on. You're very familiar with Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But he said to everything there's a season. And notice, a time for every purpose under the heaven. And as we read this, we think of our own nation. We think of this time of the year. And summertime's a wonderful time. But as a pastor, I always look forward to fall. And I think historically, our church has done better in the fall, attendance-wise, and campaigns, and Sunday school, and big days, and all of that. And I look forward to this fall. I look forward to this fall, October and September, October, November, December. And you can probably go to Walmart now and they probably already got the Christmas stuff out. I don't know. Some of you love Christmas. You'd love to have that year round. But as we think of this time of the year, though, there's a time for every purpose under the heaven. I think in our lives, as we think about this, the harvest is past, the summer's ended. There are seasons of life. Some of us are in our golden years, or what some would call the golden years, as far as we know. Some of you are just beginning. You have great hopes and great goals and vision for your life. Some of you are in that mid-season of life. There are different seasons of life and certainly different seasons that we should, in every season of life, there ought to be a growing, there ought to be a sowing, there ought to be a harvesting, there ought to be an excitement about every season of life. We ought to grasp every phase and every chapter and every season of life and enjoy it. And enjoy it. I met my new doctor the other day. Took me a while to get in to see him. Dr. Kelly retired, and I'm still upset about that. I think he's out of the will of God. And but anyway, Dr. Kelly, and so I went in and met my new doctor. I shook his hand, you know, and talked and told some stories and things like that. And I was comparing him to Dr. Kelly. You know. I told Cindy later, I said, Dr. Kelly would have told me two or three good fishing stories or something. But I said, this guy didn't do that. But he was nice. And he was probably thinking, who is this guy? What's he on, you know? He sure is talking a lot. But anyway, he said, well, how can I have it? He looked at my medical history, and I told him everything was hurting. I didn't tell him everything was hurting. Because when you get my age, everything hurts. And you don't go to the doctor for everything that hurts. Have you noticed that, Mitch?
I'm not a soldier.
Okay. Oh. 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 But you've noticed that, haven't you? And so you just concentrate on the things that, you know, that you want to do. Now, Dr. Kelly, I could talk him out of things. He said, I think you need to get on some cholesterol medicine. I said, Dr. Kelly, look, this is borderline right there. I said, I know what I need to do. I'm going to cut back on my eating. I'm going to start exercising. And, you know, we got through about 20 years of that, you know. And I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that with this new doctor. He's a little more serious. And anyway, it came down to it. And he said, now these are the shots. He said, you can get my, you know, they're shots, you know. He said, now, this, and this. And I said, you know, out of those four, I think I'd like to have this one. I think this is the one I need. And so we got the pneumonia shot and got that out of the way and, you know, checked out a few things. Anyway, it's just part of the season. It's part of the season. And you accept that, you know, you accept that. And, but we ought not sit around and moan about that. We ought to embrace it. We ought to enjoy it. I mean, laugh about it and laugh at ourselves, laugh with, not at people, but laugh with each other. I had a couple of jokes I was going to tell today, but I forgot my phone. I had them on my phone about old age. That's part of it. And that ginkgo biloba helps with that. And so you embrace those seasons. You get that next appointment. Go see that specialist. And all that. Yeah. But to everything, there's a season, a time for every purpose under the heaven. And I think about those seasons. As I said, there's a season of sowing and a season of growing. And as I think about the season of sowing, there's great anticipation about that season of sowing. The seed is purchased. Some of you are farmers. You call yourselves hobby farmers. And the truth is, it looks to me like you're full time. I mean, the work that goes into what you do is amazing. I have great admiration for farmers everywhere. But the seed is purchased. And some of you have places where you purchase that seed. And you have confidence in the seed. And I think about Haggai, that minor prophet that said this. He said, is the seed yet in the barn? And you'll never grow anything if you leave the seed in the barn. He said, bring the seed out of the barn and get it out there and get it in contact with the soil and the sun and the blessing of God. There's anticipation. The seed is purchased. Some of you have certain things that you like to grow. I remember Judy Thompson, who's in heaven now, and Judy Thompson had an old-time green bean. She had an old time green bean. I forget what she called it, but she kept those beans every year, dried them out, shared them with people. You know, really, that's what we do. Pastor Grant preached about this yesterday, about continuing to be stone carriers and that legacy stone that we're setting up. And the way that we keep all of that going is that we continue to tell the story. You know, when the children of Israel came and they said, what? They came to their parents and grandparents and said, what do these stones mean here along the bank of the Jordan? And they continued to tell that story. We continue to pass that seed along in our families and all of that. We have that seed that's purchased. And listen, this seed of the Word of God can quickly be cut off as a family and as a nation and as a church if the church leaves the seed in the barn. And we get all caught up in the things of this world and social programs and not the Great Commission, then the seed is not contacting the ground. The seed is purchased with anticipation. The soil is prepared with anticipation. That soil must be prepared. And more we see that the soil is hard in our nation. Hosea said of the nation, in chapter 10, verse 12, he said, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Break up that soil. For he said, it's time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon you. The seed's purchased, the soil is prepared, and then the sweat is produced. I think we as Baptists, especially independent Baptists, and the emphasis that we make on these things, we're pretty straight on the seed. And we understand the soil. Sometimes we're not so good at producing the sweat. Need to get with it. Something about these seasons. The seasons. Do you ever get this time of the year you think, man, I've got to get this done. Winter's coming. I think God puts that in us. I've got to get this done. The winter's coming. I think in seasons of life we think, you know, I need to get this done. I need to get out of debt. I need to lay up some treasures. I need to pay this off. I need to think about my children and my grandchildren. We're thinking about those seasons of life. And I think that's biblical, certainly. But that sweat that's produced there, there's a season of sowing, a season of growing. But all of that is in lieu of the harvest. There's a season of harvest. And that's what Jeremiah was saying. He said, the harvest, though, is past. Judgment's coming. The summer is ended. The summer's end. I don't know what signals the end of summer in West Virginia, but I think we get it. But there's a season of harvest. We notice the changing of the seasons, the coolness in the air, the dryness of the leaves and all of that. And we realize that time is quickly fleeting and time is of the essence. Jesus said in John chapter 4 and verse 34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. It'd be silly to put seed in the ground, prepare the soil and the sweat and everything and then just let the harvest lay there and rot. To finish his work. Jesus said, say not ye there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they are white. They're ripe, all ready to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. We're reaping what our forefathers have given us. We're reaping that. I think about the history of our church. I look in all these pews and I see faces of people that were here through times of seed sowing, through times of harvest, through times of faithfulness, through times of difficulty. Of course, obviously today I think of the Woodrums who sat right in there. I think of so many folks that have gone on to heaven. We owe it to them to keep running the race with patience. We owe it to our forefathers. We owe it to our preachers, our pastors of the past. We owe it to our parents. We owe it to those who took time to plant that seed in our hearts. And Jesus said, listen, behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages. Herein is that saying true, one soweth, another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon you bestowed no labor. Other men labored. You're entered into their labors. That's true in America, is it not? I mean, we're reaping where others have labored. And what a mess we're making of it. There's a season of harvest. Time is of the essence. Laborers are few. Jesus gave his only prayer request in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion upon them because they fainted, were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. That's always been true. The laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he, God, will send forth laborers into his harvest. What a harvest field we have in Jackson County. What a harvest field we have in Roane County and Wirt County, Wood County, Kanawha County. What a harvest field we have in Mason County and Putnam County. What a harvest field we have. There's a season of harvest. And I think Jeremiah, with tears in his eyes and tears running down his face, was saying, the harvest for our nation is past. The summer's ended. There's still work to be done. We're not saved, he said. God help us. Very simple message this morning. Number three, the Lord has called and the Lord has commanded us to be involved in the harvesting. That's what he's called us to do. He's called us to be involved in the harvesting. We didn't plant anything this year. Had a few blackberries, but didn't plant anything. But you go to these places where they sell, you go to these farms, and you know, you buy 10 dozen ears of corn, and you give them an amount of money, and you just think, I know what a bag of fertilizer costs. I know what diesel costs and gasoline costs, and I know what I know something about lime and that kind of thing. How do they make any money? I don't know how they do it. I just really don't know how they do it. You see all the bounty out there, and you think all the work that went into that. You see these pumpkins, and you see these gourds, and you see the squash, and you see the bell peppers. Praise God for stuffed peppers. Amen. I'm hungry today. You should have had some of that barbecue we had yesterday. You missed out on that. I was embarrassed by some of these guys, the way they ate. It was just terrible. But he's commanded us to be involved in the harvesting. I mean, to have all of this out in the field and then not be able to bring it in and harvest it and put it up. I think about Joseph, who for 7 years said, there's a famine coming. We need to put up and lay up for the 7 years of hard times. Joseph was a great type of Christ in that he saved a generation, saved the world. But I think of what we have been given us. We ought to rejoice in the harvesting. Boaz came and was a part of the rejoicing. I mean, he came and it was during time of the harvest, you know, when Ruth came and gleaned from the corners of his field. And he was coming out to help in the time of harvest. He came and they were all involved in it. They were rejoicing and they were having a time of celebration about the harvest. That's when he saw Ruth. She saw him, and what a great type of the kinsman redeemer. But I'm just simply saying, sometimes we look around our area and we think, man, there's no one left to be saved. Everybody's saved, but they're not. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. I think many times we think, well, I'm in the first quarter of life or I'm in the second quarter of life. We don't really know where we are. We might be late in the fourth quarter. But are you saved? And he asked this question. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? The Lord's called us and commanded us to be involved in the harvest. He said in Matthew chapter 28 and Matthew's gospel, he gives the great commission and he says this, "Go ye therefore, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." He said, "I have all power. I'll give that all power to you as you go to all nations, baptizing them after they get saved in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the earth." That's what he's given us to do. We're to be out there reaping the harvest. We're going to run into people that don't want to hear about the judgment day that's coming. They're distracted people. They're distracted. They're distracted by life. They're distracted by everything. There are people that are discouraged and depressed. They need to hear about Jesus. They're everywhere. Talked to a man the other day on his porch, and there are people that are that deflect you. And I was out on his porch, and I had one of our bus flyers, and you know we hand these out every week. But on the back it has the plan of salvation, and had this man out on his front porch, and I gave him the plan of salvation, and he deflected me every way he could deflect me. He told me everything he could think of, and I kept coming back. I thought, well, he hadn't run me off, and he's still smiling. So I kept telling him about Jesus, but he was distracted and he was deflecting. And I knew that God was pricking his heart, but he didn't really want to hear it. But he did allow me to tell him. You know, people will allow you to tell them. You may not always have a decision right then, but we ought to tell them. So that seed. There are discouraged people. There are defeated people. There are distracted people. There are people that are deflecting. They'll tell you about every bad experience they've ever had. There are defeated people. There are denying people. Denying people. And that's always sad. I think as Jeremiah looked around his nation, he saw people that were denying what had been given them. America's been given a great legacy, a great spiritual legacy. A great spiritual heritage. I think of our founding fathers who had great respect for this book and great respect for the things of God. And now we're leaving those behind generation to generation. You know what we need to do with people? Just start with Jesus. Start with Jesus. That's what people need. They need Jesus. There's always going to be Christ deniers. I think of a man years ago. I saw in the hospital, he was dying. He knew he was dying. We knew he was dying. The doctors told him he was dying. I shared with him the gospel as I had before. He was a very educated man, very, very dignified man. Now, I've never met a man, I think, that was more determined to go to hell than him. I thought of him this morning. I remember his wife there weeping. He was hours from dying. And his wife was there weeping. I was weeping. But he was steely-eyed, cold-hearted. And I looked him in the eye. And I don't remember what I said, but I'm sure I tried to give him the gospel and the things of God. And this is what he said. He said, "I do not believe the Bible." And I talked to him about Jesus, and he said, "I do not believe in Jesus." What he was saying in a determined way, he was just simply saying, "I do not believe." I'm talking about not just steely-eyed, determined. "I'm not going to believe. I do not believe, and I want you to know I don't believe." And his dear wife over there weeping and crying and praying for him. And within hours, he died and went to hell by his own admission. Deniers. That's what God allows us to make that choice. But you know what Jesus said? He said, "If you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." Dear friend, listen. Don't die and go to hell. God loves you. Christ died for you. He was buried, and 3 days later he got up out of the tomb and rose again and went back to heaven. And he's ever living to make intercession for us, and he's coming again. He'll save you this morning. Don't look in the face of God and walk over those that God has put in your place and tromp under your feet the blood of Jesus Christ and the opportunities. Listen, the harvest is past. The summer is ending. Would that be you to say today, I'm not saved? I'm not saved. That is a dangerous place to be. We have to start with Him. He'll save you today. Judgment was coming. And Jeremiah asked this question. He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? There was. There was. There's one here today. He is the balm in Gilead. He is the bread of life. He is the beginning and the ending. He is the bright and morning star. He is the bread that came from heaven, the manna. Not only the man of sorrows, but the God of heaven, the bread of heaven. There is a balm in Gilead. I think of Job, who said of his friends, miserable comforters. Miserable comforters. He talked about physicians of no value. But I want you to know there's a physician in heaven that's a great physician. He's of great value. He is the pearl of great price. He'll save you today if you'll trust Him. I'm telling you, the seasons are ending. Every time there's an end and the beginning of a new season, we're reminded by God, we're reminded the harvest is quickly fading. The summer's ending. Are you saved or are you lost? Are you actively seeking others to get them saved, or are you hardening your heart toward the harvest field that's everywhere around us? May God help us.